This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Hi, I'm Egil Estes. I'm the founder and CEO of Unleash. Unleash is the largest open source feature management platform in the market today. Go check us out on getunleash.io.
This is a continuing episode of a series with Egil Estes about feature toggling with Unleash. Let's talk about upper management. What are the symptoms that a product manager or CTOs are seeing that are signs that they have a problem that Unleash will solve?
Yeah, it's a good question again. I mean, I think on the bigger picture, engineering often are sort of a type of a black box type of organization. It's really smart people working on really hard, complicated problems. And it's not really that most of finance people has sort of super insight into what is happening there. So what are the patterns they should look for when they should start asking, is there a feature flag? So one example, if you have really buggy releases, so you go to production with a new release, there tends to be sort of a lot of post-release fixes. That is typically a symptom of there is something going on with your quality process, and the quality process is really not supporting your customer experience. So I'm stating the obvious here, right? Mm-hmm. If that is the case, I would strongly advocate for having a conversation around how can we start doing, because the traditional way of handling this situation is sort of saying we need to put more effort into post-release testing. Right? Because we don't want to put bugs into production, which is sort of the obvious first thought that comes to mind. But really, when you start thinking about it, what you want to do is you want to test to do go to production as many as often as possible, because what you do often is something you get good at. And when you get good at something, you can improve. So instead of sort of doing a ton of testing up front, you want to say, how can I limit impact when that issue hits my production in a very controlled manner, so that we can continue to fix that and go to production and improve that experience before it really gets any attention from our end users. So this is basically that's also what we see most of our customers. That's the, let's say, the initial use case that they bring in. I need to kind of control my releases in a meaningful way. And this is a way for me to kind of take away the stress to release and the risk of issues. And I would say the second one is basically, I'm not sure exactly how to frame that, but sort of, I think there is often this sort of this eagerness to saying, when is the new feature coming and when is it done? And if there is this sort of, I would say, if there is this saying in your company that we are never getting done, we are never ready, we are never sort of, it's never good enough. I would say this is also probably where you want to start thinking about, can we bring in customers, really all the adapter type of programs with our customer base, to start having that conversation earlier? Because you're probably building a lot of stuff that is not meaningful or useful for your end users. And that takes a lot of time, and that time is something you are not spending on building what your customers really need. And when you're spending a lot of your time and resources in your company building something that your customer really don't need, I think of that as an inventory that you cannot really sell. And finance people hate to have a big stock of goods that is not being sold. That's two observations that you could look for.
Yeah, cool. If I might add one more, is sometimes product managers, if you listen to your product managers, you will hear words like that show that they're coupling finishing a feature with the release. That's a sign too, where they say, oh, we're going to get this feature done early, but we don't want to release it. And so don't check it into the source control.
That is absolutely a big sort of flag. That's when you want to implement feature flags for sure.
Yeah, and I guess this is along started earlier talking about feature branches, which are really a wasteful process of trying to keep a feature on in an ice box, if you will, until it's ready, and then merging it in. And if you have a lot of that,
It's so hard.
Yeah. And then you're back into spending a lot of time on merges, and then the merges are getting harder as time goes on. So it's really, really expensive.
Exactly.
Let me ask a sort of an architectural or maybe a dependency question. So if I use Unleash, I notice that I can have an on-prem server or an off-prem server. And if I have either way, I'm having a new dependency for my product, maybe one that I can control a little bit more and have the support, or one that removes the cost of having to support it. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Like, should I be worried?
Yeah. So should I be worried? And yes, you should always ask these questions. And you don't need to be worried if you include Unleash, obviously. So why? So basically, as you say, the architecture of Unleash is super simple. There's an SDK. The SDK is very specific for a programming language, and you put that as a library into your code or as part of your code, right? That SDK is sort of giving you the way to operate the Unleash feature flags and sort of that into your source code, and it connects back to the server, even if the server is on our end as a SaaS offering, or you run that in your own premises. Also, what we offer is what we call Unleash Edge, which is sort of a read-only replica of the entire Unleash server. So that is sort of a scaling unit that sits between the server side and the SDK itself. And this is built for the large players saying, okay, we have a ton of traffic, we need to have scalability, we need to have a way to scale this, obviously. So it basically is an proxy. Think of it as a proxy that sits between the SDK and the Unleash server. Unleash Edge is always up to date. So that's sort of in read replica, always up to date. So if in case, I would say we never are down, but you know that I can never be 100% certain that it will never be down. So in case that happened, you need to design a system for that happening. So then you have the next level of security, the Unleash Edge. So the Unleash Edge will continue to operate independently of the server, and it will continue to serve all the feature flags. Obviously, it will be degraded in the kind of the operations because it's less advanced. So it will be a read only. It will not be a kind of a read write type of thingy. And the nice thing here is that the SDK itself is designed to work and operate independently of the server side. So everything is stored in memory. So in case there is a network disruption, we are down for some reason, the edge is down for some reason, the SDK itself still keeps the latest configuration in memory. So, okay, what about if you need to restart your application then there is no network connectivity. So
yeah, like if I'm on an airplane, for example. Right.
Well, we actually are talking to customers that want to have air-gapped environments. So how do we operate within those? So the SDK can also, we also have built in sort of an fallback mechanism for the SDK itself. So it keeps everything in memory. You can, as a developer, you can design and specify what is the default operating mode in case there is no network connectivity. You can also store that in memory to local file, which is, it happens. So it will pick up the latest configuration. And in you can also put that into sort of an independent sort of storage and S3 bucket or similar in case you want to really have that layer of protection. So working with those larger companies such as Visa and Lloyds Bank and all of those, of course, we need to have all of this figured out, and it's already in production. It works super well. Double layers of sort of security for you to make sure that there is the probability of not working is like, I don't see it. It's really impacting your system at all.
Cool. Yeah,
and also make it super, super rapid because everything is in memory. So there is no latency on network. There is no kind of going back, checking for updates. Everything is sort of pushed through the SDK, kept in memory, and it's more of, I think it's a one CPU cycle that is runtime impact on your end. So super, super rapid. And we actually put a lot of pride and effort into building this very robust, very scalable, and really also thinking about what type of third-party libraries do we bring in, how do we make this super simple and super reliable for our end users, because we understand we are touching your source code, your production code, and of course there's a ton of respect going into that.
Nice. All right, cool. That covers a lot of So for example, what caused this thought is I asked a GPT to generate me an example of using Unleash, and I noticed, there's a server call in here, and I thought, that seems like it could be a little slow, but of course not I told myself, well, there could be all kinds of things you don't know what's going on. There's probably, there could be caching, and then you just described a whole bunch of possibilities there, including Edge Network, which I didn't even think of at the time. So that's really cool.
Are you new to Agile or Scrum? Looking for a fun way to pick up the knowledge to become an Agile team? Go get the novel, Agile Noir. The dramatic novel about a project manager who needs to transform his teams to become Agile because his life depends on it. This book is available in the US on Amazon, in India on Pathy.com, in China, it's available on my WeChat store. Links are in the show notes.
We've got lovely things stored for you in our show notes. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player, right in that device for easy tapping. However, if you downloaded this from a website, it's okay because you go back to the website where you got the MP3 and you will see the show notes there. This is a continuing episode of a series about Unleash. If you missed it, you can go back to agilethoughts.info and search up episode 304 and it will find it for you. Next episode, more Agile. How can software development teams get started using Unleash?
To get unleash.io and sign up, super simple. There is a one developer, one credit card type of opportunity for you to get started. We see most teams are getting into production within minutes after they signed up, depending on their go-to production policies, obviously. Self-paced training available in our academy, a ton of documentation available on the site there.
We didn't talk a little bit about analytics. What are some interesting analytics that people listening to the podcast might be interested in? If ops sees a feature flag that's been turned on for a long time, could they give the development team some guidance on how to remove? The ops team doesn't know where that feature flag is in the code. It could be in multi-layers in this architecture. Who knows? They just got this dashboard, right? And I assume then they could say, hey, folks, our policy is don't have any feature flags longer than 6 months unless there's some special case. And so they say, hey, team, please get rid of this. Is it easy for a team to find the code that's being controlled by that feature flag?